Yeah, man.
So we back in the club with the bodies rocking from side to side, side to side. Thank God the week is done. I feel like a zombie gone back to life, back to life. Hands up.
All right, get ready for one of our teams in Colorado to be under some bright lights. But how bright? Well, that's what I want to talk about here today. Okay. The CU women. Oh, man, Phil. The CU women's basketball team, after last night's defeat of West Virginia, will lock horns with the Iowa Hawkeyes. The Iowa Hawkeyes have Caitlin Clark, the biggest star in college sports. I think even if you even included football, college football, Caitlin Clark may be still the biggest star in all of college sports. Actually, I think she is. You agree with that? Yeah. I just don't know if there's a single name that moves the needle as much as Caitlin Clark is currently.
I agree. It's Caitlin Clark. Everybody knows Caitlin Clark.
The story's been going on for over a year, and it's built to a swell to this point. She's the all-time leading scorer. Last night she scored half her team's points. Half. That's that's not normal. Not only is this a rematch of the Sweet 16 game a year ago, it's at 1:30 in the afternoon. That's 3:30 Eastern. We talk about this on the NBA side. That's where you want to be on that Sunday, Saturday afternoon. That's prime time
right there.
But it's not just on prime time. It's on network television. Why does that matter? Because if it's on ESPN, this is always the barometer I have in my head. My mom lives back in Buffalo, New York. Yeah. She doesn't have cable. Okay? She doesn't want cable. Okay? She can watch this game because it's on ABC. That is network TV. So the net that you're casting is super wide. And I want to know how many people are going to watch this game, and will that amount be larger than some of the most significant sporting events in the United States of America?
Ooh, I like it. I like it. It's going to be a big-time game, Zach. Not just because of Caitlin Clark, which is the biggest reason why.
Yep.
But for a lot of us here in Colorado, it's the women's buffs. Coach J.R. Payne has gotten her ladies here yet again.
Again, yep.
Can they finish it off? They got beat last time.
Yep.
It's going to be a big game, and everybody is going to be tuning in. Probably one of the biggest, viewing things that's going to be listed.
Yeah, it will be. And I have some context for us to have this conversation from a more informed standpoint. So for context, last year, I went back and looked this up. Last year when they were in the Elite Eight, Iowa, all right, they were the number 2 seed. And they were playing the 5th-seeded Louisville women's basketball team. They drew 2.5 million viewers on ESPN. That game got more viewers than any regular season NBA game last year on ESPN. But the thing is, that was last year. That was like, people were like, well, this is Caitlin Clark, I've heard. And so they're like, now it's like the awareness level is insane.
Yeah, everybody knows who Caitlin Clark is.
Everyone. So if you had a game last year in the Elite Eight, and I know this is not the Elite Eight, it's the Sweet 16, that did more numbers than any regular season game on ESPN, and it was on ESPN, what is this year going to do when the story's way bigger and it's on network television? So we have even more context. We have the rating from last night, right? This is the 4.9. Last night, on a weeknight, and that was on ESPN, right? Yeah. 4.9 million people watched Caitlin Clark last night.
4.9.
On a Monday night on cable. This is on a Saturday afternoon on network TV.
4.9 for one person. Caitlin Clark.
So think about this sentence. I went back this morning and looked up their ratings for the 2023 Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
This is Vegas winning their first ever cup over Florida Panthers. You know how many people watched that on average watched the Stanley Cup last year? Now, I'm just going to say this. The ratings were down last year. The ratings the previous year with the Avs were better, but last year, you want to guess? Or
yeah, let me guess.
Sure.
Since you always think I'm cheating. I'm going to say 2.3.
Last year's Stanley Cup, 2.6 million people watched it. Mm. So you're darn close. Now, the previous year was like up around 4 million, okay, for the Avs.
For the Avs.
That means last night, more people on a Monday night on cable TV watched Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes than they did the Stanley Cup each of the last 2 years. What's more than that is I went back and looked at the World Series numbers. Now, those were down to tell the whole story. Much bigger than Stanley Cup. 8.5 million people watched the World Series this past year. My question is, will more people watch Caitlin Clark and the CU women than watched the World Series last year?
Yes. There's going to be at least 9 million people watching this game. 9 million. I'm putting it out there right now. 9 million. Last time I put it out there was MPJ.
Yes.
MPJ went for 30.
Yes.
9 million viewers are going to be watching this game for a couple reasons. One, this may be Caitlin Clark's last game.
It could be, yeah. It could be.
In college, because she's already declared for to go to the draft, correct?
Yeah.
For the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
And two, there's not going to be really nothing else going on. It's starting to get crunch time where it's the Sweet 16 and everybody wants to see someone like Caitlin Clark and what she brings to the table. And so those two reasons why it's going to be 9 million viewers.
Wow. Fellas, behind the glass, Drew, Kamaje, we already know more people are going to watch this weekend. More people watched last night than the Stanley Cup this past year. Can they get to 8.5 million viewers on a Saturday afternoon on network TV, which would be as many people as watch the World Series?
My guess, I'm going to say no, not quite, only because CU's not the draw. CU's not a draw. Now, if CU is a bit, let's say if they were playing
LSU.
South Carolina, yes. I know us here locally, yeah, we're interested in this game.
Yeah.
Nationally, nobody has a clue who CU women's basketball is. So my guess, I'd probably put the number at 6.5. 6.5 million people are going to watch that game Saturday.
If that comes true, that'll be more than twice of what the Stanley Cup did this past year. If that comes true. Kamaje Granderson, what kind of number do you think this is going to do on Saturday?
I'm going to say it's going to do 7.1 million. It's not going to make the 8.5. Here's the thing. Denver forces the national narrative in ESPN to have to focus on this little town in the Rocky Mountains way too much. Way too much. It's just Coach Prime, Nuggets, Avs. They have to focus on us way too much. And if you think for 1 second that Caitlin Clark's draw is enough to make them still want to pay attention, even though they got to deal with Coach Prime in the fall, you're fooling yourself.
Wait, so you're saying?
I'm saying Denver has become what I call media overload for a media that doesn't want to focus on a city like Denver. So I think they'll take this moment to say, "I'll pass." So,
okay,
we know Caitlin's going to do her thing.
So CU is actually going to hurt the rating.
Well, do you know who's going to be at the game? Like, you know Coach Prime's probably going to be at the game. You know you're going to have a bunch of superstars at this game because it might be the last time Caitlin Clark does play in a college basketball uniform.
Wait. You think Coach Prime's going to Albany, New York to go watch the CU women
why
play?
Why not? Coach Prime, isn't his daughter on the team?
Yeah.
Okay, why would he not be there? His daughter.
Are they in spring ball right now?
It doesn't matter to Coach Prime. Coach Prime's
that's
all
good,
about his
that's a good point. No, that's a really good point.
All right, second of all, before you make your decision, Zach, when it comes to the hockey and it comes to the baseball, how many, and you can ask this, answer this for me, how many women are actually watching the hockey and baseball like they will for this woman's sport, right? The college basketball, Caitlin Clark,
yeah.
It's not going to just be men. It's going to be men and women.
Yeah, that's
it's going to be big.
That's what's different about this story. It's drawing in both.
Yeah.
It almost feels like a news story that's bigger than a sports story.
Yeah.
That's what her profile has turned into.
Yes.
I'm closer to KJ, but I'm going to go a little bit over. I think we're going to get the rating. And can we keep track of this, by the way? Can we like write it down behind the scenes? I think 7.5 million people are going to watch this game. I think it's going to be a huge draw. I think it's going to be the most viewed Sweet 16 game of all time on the women's side. And here's what's more. It's a Hot Take Tuesday presented by Papa Murphy's.
Yep.
This is Caitlin Clark's last game. This is Caitlin Clark's last college game. And CU is going to be the answer to a trivia question for the next 100 years. Let's go! Oh, cool.
Therefore, there's 9 million views. You guys are tripping.
It could be. Hey, if this is a close game, more and more people will get drawn in throughout the afternoon. What I'm curious is what it peaks at, because that's a different number than what the average view is. Could it peak at 9 million? I think it could.
Okay.
I think it could. If they're up against the ropes, that would be fun. Okay. Are enough clues adding up that George Payton is living his last days as Broncos general manager? That's coming up next. Are enough clues adding up that George Payton is living his last days as Broncos general manager? Interesting comments being made from the owners' meetings down in Orlando, Florida. And this is a conversation we've been having for a while, all right? And I got a question on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, if you want to get tagged in and be a part of the show. Mike says, why are you so interested in George Payton getting fired? Fair question. I'm interested in it personally because George Payton pulled off the largest trade in the history of the Denver Broncos.
Yep.
And gave out the largest contract in the history of the Denver Broncos to a quarterback that will not play a down on it.
Mm.
That, to me, is really interesting because the guy still has a job. So it's hyper relevant because that guy still is the leader on paper of the Broncos football operation. He's the freaking general manager. So I think it's fascinating, actually.
Well, yeah, if a player does not go out there, all right, and does his job, and he's getting paid a lot of money, what are we sitting here saying? We're sitting here saying we're paying this man a lot of money to do his job. Well, we've paid George Payton to do a job. And all he has done is be underwhelming, okay? The Nathaniel Hackett situation.
There you go.
Like, that's all we have to say right there.
It's been horrible.
The Nathaniel Hackett, why does George Payton continue to get opportunities and chances, right? But other players and other GMs, they don't get the opportunities and chances. So why should we sit here and coddle and feel okay about what George Payton put us in? He put us in a situation where, guess what? One of our beloved Broncos, Justin Simmons, is not here because of it anymore.
That's a fact. That's a fact. So it's all relevant. It's all relevant. He hired the worst coach in the history of the Denver Broncos, and it's worse than Josh McDaniels because, one, he didn't even make it through his first season. He's the fifth coach in the last 40 years not to make it through his first season. But also, it was a hope and a prayer in that you hired that guy in the first place, and it's a worse hire than Josh McDaniels. Because Josh McDaniels actually had pelts on the wall, real NFL success. Nathaniel Hackett did not. And so it's for all these reasons. And that's not even to mention your big ticket item last offseason, Randy Gregg. I mean, it's just across the board. It hasn't been good. And you hear Greg Penner take the question about the moving on from Russell Wilson. All right. Listen to Greg Penner yesterday.
The initial decision was made before we got here, and I think it was made in the context of this is a player who's had a lot of success in the league, multiple Pro Bowls. They took a shot at really upgrading ourselves with that position, but it just didn't work out for whatever reasons, and we made the tough decision to move on this offseason and wish Russ the best in his new situation. I was in contact with him after we made the decision, and we just wish him the best as he moves forward.
You hear it. Well, there's a couple things that stick out to me, yeah. Phil. you hear the first second of the answer when he's asked about his involvement in the Russell Wilson contract, and listen to the first second.
The initial decision was made before we got here, and
don't associate with me with that. that initial decision that was made before I got here.
Yeah.
And then when he talks about them doing the contract, he refers to them as they.
Yeah.
They.
That's the one that kind of got me. It's okay. You said they, like you were not part of it, but you also signed off on it.
Correct.
Because you were. And it wasn't just you at the time. It wasn't just Greg Penner. But they signed off on it for this to go through. But he also said, quote, made in context. So he was pretty much saying he didn't want to throw George Payton under the bus as he throws him under the bus.
Yeah.
And describing what George told Greg Penner to get him to sign those papers.
Mm. Yeah. And but you got to remember at the time, too. Yeah. Was Greg Penner here when the contract was actually signed? Yes. Mm. But this was a guy that was brand new to this entire world of football. So he comes into the fold, and your general manager, who everyone tells you is well-respected and highly respected, and you kind of just co-sign it, like, okay, this is what you guys think is best, and you put pen to paper. Yeah, it's your name on there, but he was kind of had his hand held walking up to the to the table to sign the contract.
For sure.
And you know when he's referring to it as they, and he wants to separate himself from it, he's creating a line there. So we have that. We have that piece of audio, all right? And this is why we're kick-starting this conversation again, because there's three new things that came out from the owners' meetings, I think. That comment from Greg Penner's one, and now we just know for sure that Greg Penner was not the one that got the ball rolling.
For sure.
We speculated that for a while, but now we know for sure. Here's the second piece. This is Sean Payton talking about moving on from Justin Simmons.
Someone like Justin, who's really been a first-class player for the organization, someone that I know is respected highly in our league, certainly by us as coaches, that was difficult. That's the hard part of this job sometimes, and wasn't any fun.
It was difficult. It wasn't any fun.
Yeah.
This is going to get more problematic when Justin Simmons isn't out there playing safety, and the guy who has to wear the win-loss record is Sean Payton.
Mm.
And it's just, I just don't think it's going to age well from his temperature towards George Payton. And then you have the final, what I believe could be the nail in George Payton's coffin. It's Sean Payton hiring director of player personnel Cody Rager from the Saints, and he was asked about it yesterday, and he said, quote, he's got a great eye for talent. I think probably, in my opinion, was our best evaluator in New Orleans relative to college players, end quote. And you brought it up earlier, specifically in the back half of the draft, yes, the later rounds, Sean said. And that's George's gig. And, yeah, and this guy is the best. This Cody Rager is the best.
Yeah, I thought that was George's place. You can't have two best, just like you can't love two quarterbacks. Two people can't be the best at something. If it comes down to Cody Rager or George Payton, who's better?
If they have a disagreement, who's Sean listening to?
Oh, Cody. Cody Rager.
Agreed.
Hands down.
Agreed. Agreed. Real quickly, I want to talk about timeline. I don't think 1 year from now George Payton's the general manager, but I just can't. I'm still a little bit torn in my head. Do they remove him after the draft, or do they let it go into the season and maybe make a change after the 2024 season?
Between those decisions, they will fire George Payton after the draft. After the draft, George Payton will no longer be the general manager of the Denver Broncos.
I think so, too. I think so, too. And he'll get a job in a New York Minute, but it won't be a general manager.
No, he will not be a general manager anywhere else.
All right, we'll see how it all plays out in reality. As we shift gears here, one of our teams in Colorado is being ripped at the national level, but if you listen closely, it's coming from within as well. Details next. One of our teams here in Colorado is being ripped, and I do mean ripped, at the national level. But if you listen closely, it's also coming from within as well. Nationally, ESPN ranked every team in Major League Baseball 1 through 30 in their first iteration of the Major League Baseball Power Rankings. All right? We got baseball starting this week, Mr. Philip Lindsay.
It's already here.
It's already here.
I think I started when baseball was kind of ending. It's kind of when I got started.
Yeah, so it's crazy
how it's already coming back into play.
Yeah, it's going to be here on Thursday afternoon. It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it for me.
Why?
I can't put my finger on it. I know the Rockies are expected to be terrible, so that's the first thing. The fact that they're not supposed to be relevant is the thing that is there. It's just kind of in my blind spot. And that's in addition to baseball just being baseball and being the fourth wheel of American sports that, you know, serious question. I don't know the answer to it, and it's super unscientific, so we probably couldn't find it anyway. But I'm curious, if you went to the mall and you went up to just average American sports fans, okay, and you said, and you had all 30 teams in Major League Baseball, if you said, how many players can you, like, could you name a player from every single Major League Baseball team? Could you name a player from half of Major League Baseball? Like, a player. And I know baseball fans, they'll do it till the cows come home. Like, real, like, hardcore baseball fans. But that's not who I'm talking about. Hardcore baseball fans are going to be hardcore baseball fans. But I'm talking about the casual fan who will watch when it's demanded, when you feel like you're missing out. And I just wonder if baseball in general, because they do a terrible job of promoting their stars,
A terrible job, Zach.
If because of that, the average sports fan wouldn't know a player from more than half of the league. So more than half would be 16.
Yeah.
It just average fans. I think the answers would be illuminating in a bad way for the sport.
Yeah, I think that you would go into a mall, ask a regular person that, and they wouldn't have no idea who half the players are.
Yeah.
I'm one of them. I'm just going to put it out there.
Sure.
You know, unless you're just one of those from the Dodgers, the Phillies.
Sure.
Just an everyday baseball player or a star on that team.
Yeah.
No, I'm probably not going to know them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where we're at with things when it comes to the MLB. I just don't think that they're putting it out there. All right. I said it even with the hockey. Like, they're not putting it out there. They're not advertising it like they did back in the day, especially with the baseball.
Yeah.
Right? There is no reason why you're having a championship game, World Series, and you're only getting 8 million people to view that game.
Right.
That's disrespectful. It's embarrassing almost.
Yeah. I mean, more than half of Colorado's football games outdrew the World Series.
Yeah.
And I think there's a real shot for Caitlin Clark in Iowa and CU Women on Saturday afternoon on ABC to draw a number that is as big as the World Series, which was 8.5 million people this past year.
I said 9 million. I went on a limb and said 9 million. We'll see if it comes true. But I could see Caitlin Clark and them going against the Colorado Buffaloes, you know, drawing 9 million viewers.
Yeah.
I see that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So ESPN did their power rankings. The Rockies are 29th out of 30. 29 out of 30. And what they said was, quote, what has changed most since we saw them last? Nothing has changed. They didn't attempt to fix the worst offense in baseball. They did little to improve their pitching. Another last place finish is on deck for the franchise that paid another team to take Nolan Arenado before signing the baseball player formerly known as Chris Bryant. Why change when you're constantly in the top half of attendance anyway? The formula makes money, end quote. You know, I've heard that said a billion times here locally. I don't know if I've heard it screamed nationally like that. I think that's interesting.
How does it hit your ears? Like knowing that, like, we're known for our scenery and making money because of the ballpark, but the play on, you know, on the field is horrendous.
I mean, it makes me... It doesn't even make me angry, if I'm being honest with you.
Mm.
Because in order to draw the emotion of anger, like, you have to care a lot to be angry.
Yeah.
But if you don't care, you're not going to get angry. And I pull for the Rockies. I have been pulling for the Rockies since 2017. It just makes me more sad than anything else. It makes me shake my head. It makes me shake my head almost in disgust that this is where we're here, knowing where this town and the energy around this team was in 2017, 18, going into 19, where the late, great Pedro Gomez is picking the Colorado Rockies to represent the National League in the World Series.
And this is a baseball state, if the Rockies would ever be good.
Yeah.
This is a baseball state.
Yep.
But because where we are and where we're going and the fact that we have not shown any kind of growth or trying to get better, you know, adding players to our team, trying to get better, it screams another year of losing 100 games.
Yeah. And this is the tone you get when someone like Jake Cave, who admittedly, I had no idea who this guy was, but he's an outfielder for the Phillies and he got traded to the Rockies. Listen to the tone from Jake Cave talking about being traded here to Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a surprise, you know, especially when you get down this late in camp. You don't really know what's going to happen, but you never think that, you know, a day left in camp, they're going to, you know, trade you. But it is what it is. You know, first reaction is kind of like, you know, it's weird, you know, going to a new team that you don't know or anything like that. But now that I'm here, I feel comfortable. I'm ready to go. Any team that's willing to give me a jersey to play baseball, I'm ready to go. So it's what it is.
Oh my gosh, we needed it is what it is count.
It was what it is.
Now, he's a pro athlete who plays a kid's game, so I shouldn't feel this way, but I feel kind of bad for him.
Oh, he's pissed.
He's pissed. He's pissed.
He was on the Phillies.
Oh, they were just in the NLCS last year.
They're almost there.
God almighty.
And now he's with the Colorado Rockies.
Opening day is Thursday. Kyle Freeland is going to start. Here's a fun fact, just randomly. I have two fun facts, actually.
Okay.
Two fun facts. One to deal with the football and basketball, and one to deal with baseball. Here's a fun fact with baseball. Did you realize that 56-year-old Vinny Castilla is still on the Rockies payroll and will make over $100,000 this year? The guy's been retired for like 20 years. Here's the other fun fact, and we stumbled upon this organically, and I tweeted it out this weekend. Do we realize that Tad Boyle, at 61 years old, and 28-year-old Cortland Sutton, each at one time played for the same college basketball coach in Larry Brown? How wild is that?
That is wild.
It's just random for no reason.
Just like thinking about it.
Tad Boyle played for Larry Brown 100 years ago at Kansas. Larry Brown became the SMU coach, and Cortland Sutton played, I think it was his first year, basketball for Larry Brown. That's just wild. So put that in your back pocket. Okay. There is a serious story developing that may cost someone their career, and it could have a ripple effect for us here in Denver sports. Tell you who and why next. There's a serious story developing that may cost someone their career. And I'm wondering, could it have a ripple effect that reaches us here in Denver sports? And I'm talking about the story that kind of just fell out of the sky for most of the public yesterday about Toronto Raptors forward Jontay Porter, who is the brother of Michael Porter Jr. His brother Jontay is under investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the last couple months. And I'm going to try to just get through this quick because I know some people have, you know, this story's on their radar, but I know people are busy and coming and going. So I just want to reset what's going on here. Back in January, when the Raptors played the Clippers, there was an increased interest around Jontay Porter's props for points and rebounds and assists, made threes. All right. Porter went into the game on that game on January 26th against the Clippers. He played 4 minutes before leaving the game because he said he aggravated an eye injury that he had suffered a few days earlier. He did not score in the game. He grabbed a couple rebounds, had an assist, didn't even attempt a three. So every single one of his unders, if you bet the under on all those things, you hit them all. Okay. But here's the kicker. DraftKings, every day, they put out a daily report to their users on betting results and what was the biggest winner the night before, and the biggest winner for bettors was under Jontay Porter props. So it's like, huh, that's interesting. He's not like a household name. In fact, he's on a two-way contract. He's not even a full-time Toronto Raptor. So then in March against the Sacramento Kings, Porter played just 3 minutes before exiting the game because of what he said was an illness. He was sick. So checked into the game, but then left after just 3 minutes. He didn't score, okay? He attempted one shot. And Sportsbooks had his numbers at, 7.5 points, 5.5 rebounds. The next day, DraftKings Sportsbook reported that in that release that Porter's prop bets were the number one moneymaker in the NBA. Phil, it is widely believed, and right now it's alleged, it's not confirmed, but there's stuff going on online, screenshots of this and that, and it's widely believed that Jontay Porter was betting against himself, betting his unders, and then leaving games, and through DraftKings, making money by betting against himself.
You know what, Zach? That's sick, man. If that's the case, we don't know for sure, but it's indicating that it's
definitely
going to be true.
Big indications, yeah.
Which then it's like, what are we doing? Right? What are we doing? Why? And in his case, he's not even a full-time starter.
No, he's on a two-way contract.
So you're barely getting the chance to be out there all the time as it is.
Right.
And so when you are out there, you're willing to lose it all by betting on yourself, betting the unders on yourself, finding ways to get out of the games because you know that it's going to affect you if you do well because you're betting on yourself.
Isn't that wild?
It's sick.
Sick is actually the perfect word. I agree.
Like, why? Why? Like, in his head, what are you doing? Right? You're playing a kid's game that not a lot of people can play or wish they can play. You get the opportunity to do it. You have a brother that's making a lot of money doing something that you guys are both doing. Mm-hmm. You have another brother that's dealing with the situation for himself, and you put yourself in a situation to where now you're talked about again. How does his family feel? How does his mother and father feel about what's going on with Jontay. I wanted to say Javante.
No, it's cool.
Jontay. And then you have the younger little brother.
Yeah, Corbin Porter, who is, I believe, waiting his sentence for, it's so bad, dude. He ran a red light last year around this time and killed an older woman. Mm-hmm. Wait, he was drunk, never hit his break. It's an awful, awful story. And that was just about a year ago. And that's like, so, if you're Michael Porter Jr., like, I'm watching him last night against Memphis, and maybe I'm seeing what I want to see because I know the story's going on, but it looked like a man that was holding on to something heavy, man, and how could you not?
Would you?
Of course. Of course. I don't even know if he didn't speak to the media after. I don't even know. I don't even know if I would play. I mean, it's not good, and it's a national story. Like, if my brother was going through something that was super serious, that he could be, under federal investigation or go, all this stuff, like, that'd be awful. But if it was public, and when I walked into a space, people knew that my brother's name was, that would just be, that is a burden right there.
I
want to know how heavy it is for him right now and moving forward.
I mean, I don't want to blame because he's had two games now. MPJ, we're talking about now, where it hasn't been the best for him.
Correct.
But we don't know how long he's known about what's going on with his other brother now.
Yeah.
He's already dealing with one of his brothers.
Yeah.
Now he has another brother that's getting ready to go through a process where, you said it, Zach, a lot of people are saying it, he may be banned from the NBA.
My expectation is if they go through with this investigation and they found this to be true.
Yeah.
Which that looks like the way it's trending right now, I do believe they're going to ban him for life from the sport.
Use him as an example.
Yeah.
And so how does that affect MPJ? It affects him a lot. That's just like anybody else that has a brother or sister that's going through some issues, whether it's a drug issue, alcohol issue, in jail.
Yep.
It affects you.
Yep.
It affects the family dynamic.
Correct.
And so then you got to go out there and you got to perform, and MPJ hasn't done it for the last two games. I'm wondering if this is the reason why he, he's all about confidence. MPJ is all about confidence and playing free. But when something's heavy on your mind,
yeah.
can you play free?
Right.
Do you have that confidence?
Right.
It's scary.
It is. And it's relevant. I feel bad for Michael here. I do.
I feel bad for his parents.
Sure.
Because, like, you know, you have two. I have one and another on the way. And I can't even imagine if one of our kids end up doing something that you know it's not them, but it happens.
Right.
And it's like, now you got to deal with it. And now you have that daughter or son that you have to be there for. And it's going to be one of the hardest times in their lives and in your life.
Yeah. And it's one of these things that's like, dude, you worked your whole life to get this opportunity.
Yeah.
And I love the way he said, like, you're not even a full-time NBA player. So when you get that opportunity to try to succeed, I mean, you could change your life. You could change the history of your family. Like you, not your brother. Like you can. And the fact that he was sabotaging his own self, if this turns out to be true, and it looks like it's trending that way for sure. It's like, was he making millions and millions of dollars? No. But according to the USA Today, I'm looking at it right now, the average salary in the United States in 2023 was $59,000.
Yeah.
You are making over $400,000 to play a child's game, and you're betting against yourself when you got the opportunity to play that child's game.
Well, what it sounds like is you got involved with some sticky situations out there. And I'm just speculating, so I could be wrong, or I could be in a fairy tale.
Yeah.
But we've seen this, and we witnessed this with other players, referees, where you get involved with the wrong people, and now you're forced to do things that's out of your character.
Yeah.
Because you got in a sticky situation. Now, I don't know if this is the case.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but
it could be.
It could be. It could be where you felt like you need to do that to make. I mean, honestly, maybe he has a gambling addiction, and we don't know how. Even if he's making 400 grand, let's just say he's taking home half of that because of taxes.
Yeah.
And he likes to gamble. And next thing you know, it's like, I'm in the NBA. I'm on a two-way deal, but I'm not comfortable because I owe this person money or lost it at the casino. I mean, dude, athletes losing their money is a tale as old as time.
Yeah.
So
get bored.
Yeah.
They got problems. You said it, gambling addictions, being bored. You have this money and you want to. It happens a lot in the locker rooms. It happens a lot where you're not supposed to, quote unquote, but you get in a situation where you're just having fun, you're bored, you start playing card games, domino.
Oh.
All of a sudden it escalates from $100 to $500 to $500 to $2,000 to $2,000 to
$8,000. Yep.
It starts to escalate because at the time you had the money to do that.
Right.
And it's something that just, you have the money, it's there, you're having fun, and you can get carried away.
Yeah. I've heard a story with the Broncos in the last 10 years, and I won't get specific, but so I'll cast a net over a decade,
yeah.
that there was a wide receiver who was gambling with the offensive line. The wide receiver got down money, did not want to pay the offensive lineman the money, and it's a big deal in the locker room dynamic.
Yeah.
And then that's just kind of hanging over the dynamic of the relationships and but this right here, this is another, and again, this is all alleged, but it looks like it's in the fast lane to becoming a thing. They're talking about it on ESPN. It's a big story, and it's just like, oh man, it's just not good. And then you have the Ohtani thing going on.
That's wild.
Which I have to, and I'm going to repeat myself, tie half my brain behind my back to think that Shohei Ohtani was not gambling on. In large increments with his interpreter, and his interpreter's taking the fall. You look at the story and how the story's changed, and you
and
add it all up.
Brought back, and yeah. You know, the issue with that whole situation is they have like three different stories.
Yeah, I know.
Just to come back to the first story, and
right.
It's like, dude, maybe if you would have stuck with the first story, you wouldn't be in a predicament you are in. And now everybody's looking at this like Ohtani, the face of MLB, at this point.
Yeah.
Is being under investigation.
How,
what's going on?
How hard do you think the league will try to dig on that?
They're not digging. They got baby
shovels.
Baby shovels. They're not gonna dig far.
I can't. I think you're right. I think that could really impact the entire sport if you're darling and star of the. I mean, you're talking about the greatest baseball player since what, Babe Ruth, playing both sides. His value is incredible. And it's just. It's wild. This is the downside of the legalization of sports gambling. It's not going anywhere. So we got to get, like, the leagues are making too much money, and but it's like you're starting to see the warts of the legalization between guys in the sport. And on the NBA side, I think a lifetime ban for someone like Jonte, to your point earlier, might be the perfect sacrificial lamb of, like, the intersection of a player who doesn't really matter big picture to the sport and you wanting to send a message with the heaviest hand of all time. And that looks like a lifetime ban.
The question, fellas.
Yeah.
Is modern day betting compared to what steroids meant to that era back in the day? Like, are we looking at the modern day version of what steroids was to sport?
So I don't think so, because it was so widespread and so accepted wholesale. I mean, pitchers, hitters, and it gave a distinct physical advantage in a sport where physical advantage means a lot. This, if you're betting,
here's the thing. You're dealing now, it's not just the fans. The players are doing it, which now is giving people advantages, because now the players are dictating what they're doing. Like the case we're talking about right now with the Porter with the Raptors. He's making it to where, well, whatever's being said about him, it's becoming true. So that's being saturated like you would if you were on steroids and everything else. Like, I feel like it kind of goes hand in hand.
I just can't go there.
Okay.
Because steroids, you were always looking for an edge. And if you are betting on yourself, you're just playing as hard as you can anyway. And I do not think that players are betting against themselves on a regular basis. I can't go there. I can't.
We don't want to go there. That's the issue, though.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you're right.
Think about it. Isaiah Rodgers, right? My teammate from the Colts.
Okay.
He was the one that got hit with all the betting from the Colts, right? One of them was on me, like, making 11 yards. But I wasn't the first one he's done it for. They were under investigation with him for betting on himself. Now, I don't think they found anything with him doing that.
Okay.
But that's happening.
Did you get an idea that he was betting on games?
I never got an idea that he was betting on games until that came out. I never knew that Isaiah was betting on games. He would ask questions.
Okay.
And now you're starting to say, okay.
Like, looking
back. That's why.
Like,
yeah. Because he wants to know, like, hey, Phil, Jonathan Taylor's out. You playing this week, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
He said, what kind of runs you going to do? Like, playfully, you know, talking to you. But in his head, he's trying to figure out, okay, like, what's the game plan?
Right.
Right? Like, are you going to get enough carries, or are you just there?
Yeah.
And then now I can place this bet that I've seen that now I can win some money at. Because it's not me.
I see that happening. What's harder for me to envision is someone saying, I'm going to tank myself and bet myself to go under. I think that was way more. Like, I think guys are betting for sure.
For sure.
But this story with Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, I think this is more an exception. And I hope I'm right.
Other players are doing, though?
No, not to this degree.
Thousands of players.
Dude, this is wild. This is you leaving a game 3 minutes in and saying you're six,
so your unders can hit.
That's unusual.
But come on, Zach. Some of these games that you're watching, right? Some of these players that are doing some of these mistakes, and you're like, I know that player would never make that mistake, and he goes out there and does it.
God, I'm thinking of Melvin Gordon.
Oh, he's a great example, and I'm not saying he is, but come on.
Yeah.
There'll be times in the game where he's getting the ball in the 1 yard line to win the game, but you fumble the ball multiple times. That man has lost the Denver Broncos games by himself.
It's true.
And you can't sit here and say, at times you thought, yo, are you throwing a game? And you don't want to say it's sick. Sometimes you will look, right? And everybody's going to laugh. But you have somebody like Patrick Mahomes. And then all of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes does something that it's just like stupid. It's like, yo, Patrick Mahomes would never do that. Why would you do that all of a sudden? And then guess what? The next game, the next two games, you're doing what you didn't do the last time. You're doing it now. We don't know what these players are doing or what's being asked of them. It's a crooked game now, man. More than you think.
Oh.
I'm putting that out there.